Hey, this is Scott, and you're listening to What Was That Like? New episodes with guests telling their amazing stories are every other Friday, but today we have the Tuesday question. In the podcast Facebook group, we have a new thought-provoking question every Tuesday, and it generates some really interesting and sometimes deep discussions. We'd love to have you join us. Just go to whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. But if you're not in that group, we bring it to you here in a short episode every Tuesday. We dig into the group archives and find one of the past Tuesday questions that we've discussed. Then Meredith and I answer that question, and we talk about some of the answers that came from other listeners. And if you love this one, wait till you see what we have for you next Tuesday.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
I was just reading this question, and this is, well, actually, I made up all the questions that show up in the Facebook group. So I like all of them, but this is one of my favorites. The question is, you just made a donation to your favorite cause, and that can be money or it can be volunteer time. What is that cause? Meredith, what is your cause?
Oh, that's such a good question. My cause is probably the Nutrition Coalition.
Nutrition Coalition. I have not heard of that. What is that?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either. I interviewed the founder, Nina Teicholz. She has a really interesting backstory. She was just like a regular journalist. And her editor said, hey, Nina, we need you to do a story on trans fats. And she's like, okay. And then what happened after that moment reads a lot more like a true crime docudrama than it does just like, I'm going to do a story on trans fats. There was cover-ups and payoffs and all this really obscure history on something that, you know, we kind of accept as this is all good and this is all bad in the world of nutrition. So what the Nutrition Coalition does is it helps Americans be more informed about evidence-based nutrition versus the, do you remember the old food pyramid?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that still in effect? Do they still go by that?
It's a plate now, but it has not changed. The policies have not changed despite 60% of Americans having at least one chronic illness. That's the CDC number, by the way. So that's not like my strange hippie stuff that I do. It's like an actual
This is the real stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's the good stuff. It's the good stuff.
So do you volunteer with that group or you just send them money or what do they need?
They need funding because nutritional studies are really expensive because you're talking about human development. So these diseases are not acute. It's not like you bump your knee and then, oh, there it is. There's the bump on your knee. It's, you know, it's over time. And there are so many factors in nutrition, which is part of the reason why there aren't studies on nutrition. It's not a patentable. Is that a word? Patentable? You know, pharmaceutical companies can't make money on nutrition. So there's just not a lot of backing for it, unfortunately.
Yeah. That sounds like a good, noble cause. What episode was that?
That is episode 204. What about you? What's your cause?
I actually have two, but one is kind of more predominant. I live in the Tampa Bay area of Florida, there's a large homeless population. And I really have a heart for those people. Several years ago, probably like 2016, maybe, my wife and I joined a group and we would go to Tampa every Monday night. And there was a church let us use their parking lot. And so there was always all of the local homeless people knew Monday nights at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever time it was, to come to that parking lot because they could get clothing, shoes, blankets, and food. They could get a full meal. There were four different churches who took turns in rotation. They would cater a full meal. So there was lots of food. So after we did that for a while, I could see, obviously, these people needed transportation. A few of them had bikes, but they were always asking for bus passes. And other than that, they're just walking everywhere. And they have to go to places. Some of them are looking for jobs if they get to a job interview, or even visiting family that lives, you know, further than walking distance away. So I thought, what if we got some bikes and could give these people? And so I put a little post on Facebook locally here in my area in Pinellas County, which is the Clearwater area, saying, does anybody, this isn't a Facebook group. And I said, does anybody have any bikes that you're not using that are rideable that you just want to give them away to somebody? I'll get it to someone who's homeless who needs it for transportation. And somebody responded and said, yeah, I've got one. Just come get it. So I went and got it. And the next week, next Monday, I brought that with me. And nobody knew why I had this bike. They didn't even really notice it. But I started looking around and I went up to a woman and I said, do you know of anyone who could use a bike for transportation? And she said, yeah, I could. And I said, well, come over here. I got something for you. So I gave her, and she was the first bike that I gave someone. And then people started asking, hey, so you got a bike. Hey, can you get me a bike? And so, I mean, we would see on a Monday night, we would see probably close to 100 people.
What? 100?
I mean, it was a big crowd. Yeah, this is Tampa. It's a big issue. So I had to start a waiting list. And so I would get donations and I would bring three bikes every single week. And I would start reading names, people on the waiting list. And the first three people that I came to that were there, those three people got bikes. And we did that for years. Now, some people, if they saw what we were doing, and some people said, I don't have a bike, but can I just give you money? And so they would donate, they would give me cash.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Would buy bikes. I can go on Facebook Marketplace and I can always find bikes for $20. So I never pay more than $20 for a bike. But some people, you know, I'll say, this is going to go to a homeless person. And a lot of people just say, just come and get it. I don't want any money for it. And so that's gone a long way. And
wow.
we don't go to Tampa anymore, but anytime in that Facebook group, anytime somebody posts that says, hey, I've got a bike, I want to give it to somebody. Does anybody need a bike? My name gets tagged because everyone knows I'm the bike guy. And so I still have people. I had two bikes left on my front porch yesterday just because people know. And I tell them, you know, you can leave them on the front porch anytime. I bring them in the garage. I make sure they're in working condition. And it's probably, we're up to probably like 600 bikes now.
Wow, that's incredible.
So that's what I like to spend my spare time. And my number two, and I just started this recently, the Humane Society.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me about you.
Well, the thing is, the local Humane Society is literally a 5-minute drive from my house. And I don't know why I didn't sign up before, because they do such amazing work. And of course, you have to go through this whole thing. I had to take an online course about, you know, dealing with animals and stuff like that. But it's just, my listeners already know I'm a huge dog lover. And so if I can go and help out, and somebody said, oh, you're with the Humane Society, you're still helping the homeless because those dogs looking for a home.
Oh, that is a good connection. Okay. So the real question is, how many animals have you come home with that you had not intended to?
Oh boy. Zero so far. There's a bunch that I could have come home with, but my wife is kind of picky. We have two dogs. They're both Yorkies. And we have Yorkies because they don't shed. Most of the dogs at the Humane Society are shedders, so I would be in big trouble if I brought one home.
Marital happiness should be a priority, so I think you're on the right track. I just got the best idea for a listener meetup. What if you did a meetup that was also like a Humane Society adoption event for your listeners?
Yeah, I'd be open to that. I don't know how many local listeners I have. I mean, I know I have some, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. That'd be interesting. It'd be a good excuse just to play with some puppies.
It would, and I don't need much of an excuse.
Neither do I. I love it. Actually, there was a lot of listener answers that had to do with animals. When you sent me the list, at first, I had a little fleeting thought that you had rigged it, because I'm an animal person too, and the first two answers on our list, I was like, wait a minute. Is this the setup? Because they are so relevant to my little life.
Yeah. How, in what way are you an animal lover? Are you a dog person, a cat person, or something else?
I am all the things. I just really enjoy animals. I don't have any pets. But full confession, about 20 minutes before we jumped on this recording, I was outside feeding the lizards with mealworms that I bought from Petco. And they're not my pet lizards. They're just lizards that live in my yard. And it's starting to warm up here in North Florida. And they come out to warm themselves in the sunshine. So there was about six of them all over my house and my plants. And I just, you know, hold the mealworm as it squiggles, ready to be sacrificed. And I stand really still, and the lizards jump on my hand and eat the worm. It's really cool.
Wow. You bought food for the lizards.
Such a dork.
If there were any of my listeners that didn't already love you, they have now been converted because of that specifically.
Oh, well, so. I'm happy to be here. What can I say?
All right. Well, go ahead and read the first one on the first answer that we picked out here.
Okay. I loved this. She said, I'm a social worker as my day job. I said she. I don't know if it's she, but I love that already. And then they continued to say, so in my free time, I do two diving coastal cleanup / ghost net projects that take up quite a lot of my holidays / weekends and the occasional dive search / recovery of missing people. I love this so much because it is amazing. And you know what? It is hard. And that's what I appreciate so much about it. I'm a new diver myself, and I did an underwater coastal cleanup, and I thought it would be easy peasy. And it is not, because everyone and their mom is doing the coastal cleanup, which is thumbs up, right? It's a positive thing. Until you're in that water, you can't see diddly shit in front of you, and you've got Joe Blow's flipper knocking your mask off. But it's such important work, and you just end up with hundreds of pounds of netting and trash and all kinds of things that can hurt the marine life. So bravo to this listener.
Wow. And so when you're down there, is it completely dark, and the silt that gets stirred up is what prohibits your vision as well?
Right. In my case, and I've only done it once, so you'd have to check in with this listener to see where they're doing it and kind of what the circumstances are. But I was at a fishing pier, and we have very silty sand here on our coast, and so it very easily gets kicked up. And I think we had 30 divers. So,
oh man, so it was kind of crowded down there.
It was quite crowded, and it's actually difficult to hold the tools that you need to perform a cleanup while also maintaining buoyancy. So again, super kudos to your listener, because it's not as easy as a land cleanup where you simply walk and put stuff in a bucket.
Right. And you've got one of those reacher things that you don't even have to bend over. You just, you know, you pull the trigger and pick it up and put it in your bag. Yeah,
exactly.
Just as a quick aside, I may also be doing some underwater cleanup.
Really?
Because of a new hobby that I'm just now getting into. Magnet fishing.
What?
Have you heard of that?
What is that?
I've got a 100-foot rope, and at the end is a magnet, a really big magnet that can pull like 800 pounds. So you go wherever the deep water is and drop it in. I've only done this once. I didn't find anything, but you drop it and people find all kinds of stuff, even guns. You know, if somebody wants to dispose of a gun, where are they going to throw it? In the water. And so then, of course, then you got to call the police and see, you know, see if it was connected to a crime or something. But you never know what you're going to what are you going to find?
I have so many questions. Okay, just keep us updated because
we've got lots of episodes to cover future stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, we want magnet fishing recovery stories. And I, truth be told, we want you to solve a crime. Okay, so get with it.
That would be awesome.
Get after it. That would be awesome.
Next answer from a listener is, I volunteer all spring and summer monitoring about 40 bird nesting boxes. And I don't know where this person lives, but she or he says, I make sure our native cavity nesters, which are eastern bluebirds, wrens, and tree swallows, can succeed. I protect them from destructive and aggressive invasive species. So this person really knows their birds, it sounds like. And I have no idea how you even do all of that. How do you protect one bird from another?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I wonder if this this is another like podcasting hazard. It's like, well, I have 700 questions that I need to ask this person immediately, and they're not here. What will I do with myself? Because mm-hmm. I wonder if they're a master naturalist. Because mm-hmm. when you take that certification, you learned about the invasive species versus the species that are native to the area. This is really cool. Mm.
Yeah, that I can definitely see that would be a fulfilling thing. And you said the word naturalist as opposed to naturist. There's a big difference there.
Is there? I don't know the difference.
A naturist is also sometimes known as a nudist.
Well, yes. That makes bird watching real exciting. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
Okay.
What's next?
All right. So the next one is, my money goes to a charitable organization that is involved with humanitarian aid, both domestically and internationally. Those running the program are paid with other funds so that 100% of the donations are spent on supplies and what all is needed for the people suffering. When there's a disaster of any kind, they bring food, water, clothing, shelter, etc., and have volunteers locally that offer support and help with cleanup, rebuilding, etc. I love this because mm-hmm. of the part of it that talks about those running the program are paid with other funds. It's very rare for a nonprofit to have 100% of the donations go to the cause.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is very important, and it's not something you hear about very often either. All right, we got one more.
And this one says the acronym SSS, and it stands for Stop Soldier Suicide, for two reasons. One, the military connection, and two, they hold fundraising challenges such as 50-mile rucks or 100-mile hikes, and my dogs and I are able to participate and raise money, and my company matches my final donations. When I read this, how do you take a dog on a 100-mile hike?
Maybe he has a dog backpack.
Yeah, but, I know they make those, but I've done a 100-mile ultramarathon, and this is not something, I mean, a hike, they're walking and they're carrying stuff. That's got to take several days. I just wonder about the logistics of this.
He said dogs, plural, as well.
Yeah, I guess if a person can train for it and they train with their dogs, the dogs are going to be trained for it as well, I suppose. But And a 50-mile ruck, I mean, that's carrying a pretty heavy backpack from what I understand. I don't have any military experience, but that's what they call that. And yeah, soldier suicide is certainly an issue and one that's good to address for sure.
Yeah, it is. I spoke with one man. He happened to be just, we happened to cross paths and we ended up having this really deep conversations, which is what happens when you're an introvert. You like skip the, hey, how, you know, how's the weather? And you go, so tell me about your PTSD. And that's exactly what happened. And I was so grateful that he chose to share with me, but he said the military gave him a special hypnosis treatment in order to help. He was tortured. So to help relieve the memory of this torture, but he was still so sad and he didn't know why, because the memory had been erased essentially, until it came back one day when he was getting a massage and they rubbed the area that he was tortured, and suddenly he was in like in full soldier mode and like ran to the corner of the room and was panicked and wide-eyed. And then he spoke with some other of his soldiers that were serving with him, and they had similar things happen too. So I just am so grateful for the service of people who are warfighters, because, you know, unfortunately it's a necessary thing that we need, and the aftermath, they're just not supported in the way that they need to be. So I'm so glad that this exists, and I'm so glad there's people who can hike 100 miles, because it ain't me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're scuba diving while they're hiking.
Right? True. Well,
all
how
right.
fun.
Well, this is a great question. I enjoyed this.
Me too.
And our next episode, is it the next episode? Yes, it is. I'm literally looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even going to say why.
Oh.
But I guess
lots
that's what you call a
today.
Teaser. Yeah, yeah.
That's two.
I am really looking forward to having our discussion on the next one. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Okay, until then.
If you want to check out the current Tuesday question that everyone's discussing, head over to whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook and join the conversation. And make sure you're subscribed to What Was That Like? Every other Friday, we talk to some regular person who's been through something extremely unusual. We've had guests come on and talk about animal attacks, mass shootings, plane crashes, and getting a deal on Shark Tank. More than 160 episodes to binge. Just search any podcast app for What Was That Like? Big thanks, as always, to my co-host and producer, Meredith, for putting this episode together. You know she has her own podcast, right? It's called Meredith for Real, The Curious Introvert. And I can tell you she's definitely curious, because she and her guests a lot of times have conversations about things you don't normally hear talked about. I'm Scott Johnson. See you next time.